Psalm 71. Psalm 71 is a prayer for the elderly, for those of older age. I don't know what that means exactly. I think it includes me. Probably doesn't include you, but it includes me. A prayer for old age. Sometimes older people have a tendency to feel left out. Sometimes they have a tendency to feel like they're finished. And as we go through this, you'll see this prayer of this older gentleman. He begins like this. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. The psalmist prays it. In You, O Lord, I put my trust. We have seen that so many times in the Psalms. This is only Psalm 71, and we have seen that over and over and over again. It'll be recurring, and it'll be something that you'll want to remind yourself, no matter what age you are, for the rest of your life every day. It's in God my trust is. And you pull out money, and still on some of the money. In God we trust. Not in what we're spending, not in anything else, but in God. And the psalmist says it. He's an old man now. And he prays, O Lord, I put my trust in You. All my hope is in You. Excuse me. Please deliver me in Your righteousness. Notice, his prayer hasn't changed from when he was a kid. His prayer remains the same. He's still in the same kind of troubles. I like that. Keep that in mind, older ladies and gentlemen. Keep that in mind. That, you know, we may slow down, but we're not finished until we're done. Be my solid hiding place. A place to dwell that is protected and safe, he prays. This is a prayer. This is a prayer request. Certainly you could pray it from your own heart just as well. Be my place to hide. My solid place to hide. You are my rock. You are my fortress. A solid footing and a strong protection is what he says. You're my defense. I think about Jesus there in front of Pilate. And Pilate was so amazed that Jesus didn't defend himself. And Pilate said, you got to say something. Don't you know I've got the power to have you put to death? And Jesus said, God is my defense. God is my rock. Well, this is how he said it. You would have no power except my heavenly Father gave it to you. God is my defense. He's the one I trust in. I don't trust my own understanding. I try to use logic sometimes. Maybe you do too. And logically, things don't make sense to me sometimes. And so there are times when you just plain say, all right, I just have to pray. I just have to pray about this. Well, here's what makes sense. Here's what's logical. I know, but I just have to pray about it because there's where I got to go hide. There's my rock right there, the Lord God. Please deliver me out of the hand of the wicked. Even in his old age, David was threatened by the wicked. They were trying to kill him. Even in his old age. We go to verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been held up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. All right, this is for just me and you, us older people. He just said something here that you don't want to miss. Well, first of all, for all of us, and all of it applies to all of us, but since before I was born, You have taken care of me. Now, is that amazing or what? With all the debate going on about abortion, this old man says, since before I was born, You've been taking care of me. I think that's true in my life too. But I also think it's true in yours. Before you were born, God was taking care of you, even knowing that some of you would reject Him. Why do you live in America? You probably never gave it much thought. Why do you? I think it was God's plan for you. So quit being so ashamed that you're American. How did we get here? Some of us got here the hard way. All of my relatives on my mother's side stayed in Italy. They're still there today. I don't know them. I don't understand them. My dad says, all you have to do is go to the little village where your mother comes from. If you ever get a chance to go, walk into any pub. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that they're all winos. It's just that that's where you hang out because that's where you eat. It's kind of like going to England. It's not bar rooms. That's how it works. He says, go into the pub and just ask, just mention your mother's maiden name. And the town will accept you just like that. The town is still small. And they all stayed there. Many of them have died now. So it's the cousins that are still alive and all that. And I think, you know, I came to America when I was just about 1 year old. And so the only thing I remember about Italy is when we lived over there for 3 years, I did go visit all those places and see family, and I didn't understand a thing at 11 or 12 years old. But why would God bring me to America? I think that I would not have been in the ministry had I been raised in some other land. What do you think? I think that I wouldn't have had the opportunities. Why did God do that? I don't know. What about you? Think about your whole life. From before I was born, You took care of me, He says. God has been my trust, His trust, for as long as He has been alive. And then He goes on and says something that I think is cool. I am a wonder. Let me say verse 7 again. I am as a wonder unto many, but You are my strong refuge. I am a wonder. You know what it means literally? I am a sign. People are amazed. I am a special display of God's power. You know, every one of you that's born again, I believe you could say that. Not in a prideful way, but in a knowing way. This old gentleman is a wonder. People are amazed when they talk with him. And he goes on to say, let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Now that is something older people can do better than any of the rest. Because they've got all those years behind them to tell you all that went on. I like to sit with those people. don't you? And just listen to them talk. You learn a lot by just the stories that they tell you when they were young, what God did in their family, what God did in their lives. You start to, what did he just say? Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. When I first got into the ministry, and I've told you about this older gentleman, he was right at about 69 years old when I hung out with him almost daily. I was 27. So what, we were a match made in heaven. And wherever he would go, I would say, can I tag along? I want to go. And he'd tag me. If we were going to pray with someone at the hospital, if we were going to do a Bible study, he and I would take my guitar and we'd go to the care centers. And all these elderly people. And I would play songs that they didn't know, because I didn't know the ones they did. And we'd teach them these songs. And he would preach while some of them slept. And some of them would even fall out of their chairs. And for a while, I thought, wow, we are wasting our time. But he never quit. And he said, no, come on. And so we would go Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday every week for about a year. And those people, you'd get with them and sit down with them. Sometimes you'd have to sit on the floor because they couldn't look up at you if you were in a chair. And they'd tell you about the Lord. And about the things that he had done in their lives. They couldn't remember their children's names. Sometimes they couldn't remember their birthday or anything. But they could tell you scripture. And they could tell you about the Lord. And I know sometimes people will think, well, old people, no, they can't get the job done. You know, that's what we need. We need the older ones. Because with the older ones comes the wisdom and the solidness of a ministry. We need the young, because that's where the energy comes from. They're around buzzing, trying to wash cars and do things and turn chairs. We'll move this and we'll play volleyball. But we need the older for the solid stability. And we need to sit and listen to them. And if you ever get a chance to do that, don't pass it up. Because you're going to hear them say things and you're going to look at them and go, you are a wonder to me. Man, that's amazing what God has done in your life. And I know a lot of times people feel, because I'm older, I can't really minister. We'll let the young people do it. Don't ever think that. Just let the young people do all the hard work. Like shoveling and things. That's all right. That's what they want to do. He says, I am as a wonder unto many. But thou art my strong refuge. This older gentleman that I would hang out with, over and over, I'd say, I don't understand the rapture. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean, millennium? So many people say there is no 1,000 years. You say there isn't. Show me why there is, and show me why there isn't, and tell me. And he calmly would teach. And he taught a Bible study on Thursday nights. Thursday mornings we would go to the care center, about almost a 2-hour drive. And this man was up in years, you know. And then Thursday nights he'd teach a Bible study. Sometimes to that Bible study. And I mean, this man was amazing. What an amazing teacher, I thought. And that Bible study on Thursday night, sometimes as many as 4 would show up. His wife, himself, my wife, and me. The whole city didn't know what they were missing. But he was old. He wasn't as exciting as some of the younger pastors, you know. An exciting time to him was to say, hey, Bob, let's go to Denny's and have some hot tea. When you're 27, you're going, right on, that's what I was thinking, man. I'm going to put lemon in mine, buddy. Maybe some honey, too. We'll get wild. And he would ask me questions. And he knew the answers to them, but he would ask me questions. Sometimes I didn't know the answer and he didn't. And we had a joke between us. Because when Peter really didn't know what to do, Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and Peter didn't know what to do. Do you remember what he did? He says to 6 other guys, I'm going fishing. Remember that? And they said, we'll go too. Harold sometimes would say that to me. I'd say, Harold, I don't understand this. What are you thinking? He'd look at me and real quietly for a minute, and then he'd go, I think I'll go fishing. I'd go, I'm going too. Something you and I don't understand. He was a wonder to me. Those of you that have been in Jesus Christ a long time, and now you think, well, I've served my usefulness. No, no, no. Here's what the word says. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. That's what we'll talk about as we get older and as we get older until the Lord comes back to get us. Then he says it. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. They that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. I know how he feels sometimes. Probably some of you do too. He says, I'm old now. I get tired. A little bit more than I used to get tired. Steps look bigger. Long steps look a lot farther than they used to. You guys haven't gotten there yet. He says, I'm old. And you've never let me down in my youth. And so I pray, don't forsake me or let me down in my old age. Because I'm weak. I'm tired. It's harder to get around. Please don't let me down now. Don't forsake me because I'm old. The feeling, I think, sometimes that people get is once you hit 60, 65, you ought to retire and get out of the way. And I don't see that in Scripture, not for someone who is truly born again. I think they ought to be living right on and continuing to praise with their lips, praise God, talk about the Lord, do the things they do. Now, we live in a country where, okay, retirement isn't 65 anymore. You could always go to 66 now. Even further, 70. But I sometimes feel like the church pushes out those people that are slower, that are slowing down, trying to make way for all the kids. Now, we want the kids, but you know, we're making a big mistake because we're missing out on some powerful learning. And he says, please, God, my enemies are still trying to get me. You know, they're still young for some reason. They never let up. They're trying to kill me, he says. They might think this. He's old now. He's going to sit down. He's going to get out of the way. He won't be a threat. We'll kill him. God won't protect him anymore because now God's going to get his son on the throne. You know, Solomon's going to take it. And David prays. He says, don't forsake me because I'm old. His enemy said, God's finished with him. We'll get him now. But that wasn't true at all. And he cries out to God. Notice, even in my old age, the Bible teaches me I should cry out to God for strength, for ability, for whatever is necessary to do whatever I can do for his glory. I've told you about the two old pastors. Harold was one of them. Another older gentleman who was up around 71, 72. Harold was a kid. He was only 69 at that time. And I was about 27, sitting with them, and they would witness to me by asking each other questions. What do you think about the blood of Jesus? How about that cross? And they would do that. And so I'm listening to these two people, and they are just educating me beyond belief. I just don't know it. Well, he says, that's the way I want to be. But protect me, O Lord. But I will hope, verse 14, continually, and will yet praise you more and more. As I get older, praise him more and more. How's, why? Think about it. You were a Christian for 1 year, then you were a Christian for 2 years, then it was 10, then it was 20. What should be taking place in your life? Not only what God did back 20 years ago, but what God did this morning too, right? And so that older person has more and more and more that they can share. Not only the long history, but even the present time of walking with the Lord. That's what he says. I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. It never ends. I know that I heard a young person say about a week ago, they weren't talking to me, I was listening. I can't wait, man. Once we get through this book that we're studying, I'm going to understand all this. I remember being young enough to know everything. Do you remember those days when you and I were young enough to know everything? I'm too old to know everything now. But there was a time when I did. When I first got into the ministry, I could answer any question you had. Did you know that? Any. I had no problem answering any question you had. Now, you've heard me. Many of you come up and say, what about this? I go, I don't know. I agree with you. Great question. I don't know. See, I've gotten too old to know everything now. I'll hope continually and praise you more and more. How long will I hope? Continually. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. You hear that? Hang on to that. There it is. I'll just talk about you every day because I don't know how many days I've got. I don't know the numbers of. I don't know how many days I'm going to be here. I don't know if I'll live to see, I won't retire. I'll probably just fall over. But I don't know that I'll live to see that kind of age. I don't expect to. I hope not. I mean, it's nice down here and everything. Don't get me wrong. But there's no sneezing up there. I know some of you are doing everything you can to last longer here. Some of us aren't. I need grease in my life. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding because I know this goes out on the radio and, man, I get mugged sometimes for saying these things. You guys, you understand. Even if it goes out on the radio and it's misunderstood, you know I'm just teasing. Because I know my days are in His hands. And I know your days are in His hands. Take care of yourself. I mean, be careful crossing streets and everything. But just understand that. He says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. I'm going to talk about God. That's what I want to talk about. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. I want to continue to hope in you. I know sometimes you feel like you're old and nobody wants you around. But God does, and He'll continue to use you always. And so He says, all the time, continually, in all circumstances, in all situations, I will hope in you. You've taught me from my youth. Those of you that are over 40, and you got saved in your teens. Hasn't it been a great time, really? Oh, it's been one roller coaster ride, sure, but hasn't God been amazing how He has just done it? Even when you fell flat on your face so many times, hasn't it been amazing how He picks you up and dusts you off, and you're still His? And He's still pulling you by the hair sometimes, getting you going in the right direction? And those of you that are over 50, and you can look back over 30 years of walking with the Lord, and you just think, you know, I still haven't got it right yet. But that, what's the old song? He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. You know what's neat? I've been saved now for about 30 years. And I'm only 32. So that's most of my life. And He has never, not ever yet, ever failed. I mean, He has come through. Sometimes I thought He was going to be late. But He has never yet failed. And so now it is easier for me than it was when I was 30. It is easier for me to say, well, just trust God. It is. Now, those of you that have been a Christian for a while, notice, isn't that happening? You start walking and you know, these young people say, I wish I had your faith. You'll have it. Give it 30 years. You'll be twice what I am. It's easier to trust Him. And you talk to some of them that have been Christians 40 years and 50 years. And they look at you like, what's the problem? Nobody loves me. I'm going to lose my job. Everything's falling apart. And they go, Well, I'll give you more time to pray. They're so calm. Aren't you going to worry? You know why they don't? They've seen it. They've seen it. That's what he's telling us. You've taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared your wondrous works. Now, also when I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, don't forsake me. Let me, he says, until I have shown your strength unto this generation. There are younger ones coming up. We need to teach them. They think we're old. They think our jokes aren't funny. They'll grow up. They'll laugh when they're old. They'll go, I get it now. Just got to give them time. It says, I show your strength to this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. So we always pray. I pray, God, let me teach until I'm finished. It doesn't matter if nobody wants to listen. It matters that I get the opportunity to do it. Don't you see? If you're called to teach, you ought to just teach. If you're called to evangelize, you ought to be evangelizing. If you're called to mop, you ought to mop. We ought to just be doing what we're supposed to be doing, because here's our chance to do it. He goes on. You've taught me from my youth. You've been my strength. You've been my deliverer. You've been my hope. You've been my everything. Please keep me now in my old age. In my gray-headed old age, he says. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And again, there it is. I mean, we can't get off the subject. I'm sorry, but this psalm is the prayer of an old person in old age. So you can't get away from all the references. Sorry if it's bugging you about gray hair and old age. You are righteous. Your righteousness is so high, none compares to you. And God, you have seen me through many great and horrible tribulations and troubles. And I remember the stories that this older gentleman would tell me. As a young man, how some of the things that he went through. Talking to some other Christians who had been prisoners of war. And the things that the Lord did in their hearts and in their lives while they were locked away. That's what he's saying right here. Can you imagine listening to King David after he had been on the throne for 30 years? When he would say, you know, I trusted the Lord, and for 10 years I had to hide every day for my life out in Ein Gedi, out in the wilderness. He says, you've shown me great and sore troubles. He says, you shall quicken me again. You shall bring me up from the depths of the earth. Excuse me, again, we need to pay attention to the fact that you've been through some things. And every one of you has, old or not. If you've walked with the Lord a little bit, God's delivered you already from some things. He's worked in your life already. Now, as you continue to walk, remember what he's done. So when you get into a situation to where you're brokenhearted, you're thinking that this is it. I'm going to fail. We're going to lose it here. Stop and remember what he's done already. Just as the king says, yeah, I've been through a lot of great and sore troubles. You'll deliver me again up from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness. Comfort me on every side. Verse 22, I will also praise you with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O God, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. You're righteous. You're good. I'll praise you, he says, with instruments. Music. I'll sing along with the stringed instruments, with a harp. I'll sing praises to you with my own lips, he says. I'll tell others of your righteousness, of your mercy, of your strength. Look at this. My tongue, verse 24, shall also talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. I'll tell all the others. I'll sing praises. I know there are a lot of people that don't like to sing praise and worship. They just are bored with it. It's hard to be bored with it, though, once God has really moved in your life. Once God has really started working, and you know He's never going to let you down. You know you got it. Not because you've got it together, but because of His grace, His faith. You know He's going to do it. You just praise God. You just like to praise, and you just like to worship. He says, as we grow older, and all of us will, there are a lot of things we could talk about. You know that, don't you? As you grow older, a whole lot of things you could talk about. Let's be like the King. Let's talk about God. As we grow older, let that be what our lives are all about. Let's talk about what God's Word says. Let's talk about what God has done. Let's talk about what God's doing. We have a tendency to talk about our troubles. This has gone wrong. That's gone wrong. I had one of these, but it broke. Now it's flat. And I would, you know, and how's it going? Oh, you know what? Stop and say, God is good. All the time. That's what He's telling us. He says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. They're confounded. They are brought to shame that seek my hurt. Even in his old age, the King said, it's the way it's going to be. God will take care of me. He cries out to the Lord. We continue on. And we read this. This is a psalm for Solomon. I think you'll see Jesus Christ in here as well. Give the King thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the King's Son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. By the way, that's what Jesus Christ will do as well. The psalm opens with a prayer request that God would give the King true wisdom. Remember, Solomon asked for wisdom to judge and to oversee correctly. Now, if Solomon were your king, would you want him to be an honest, upright judge? Let's just rephrase that. If there were leadership over you in government, wouldn't you want them to be the most honest, upright, wise men and women that you knew? That's what he's praying for his son, for Solomon. He's saying, give him wisdom. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness, so that the king would rule in righteousness, and prosperity would be the result. That he would be able to judge properly and righteously on behalf of the afflicted and those that are needy. The king is asking that God give him the wisdom and the gifting and the ability to be a good, honest, upright king. I hope you pray the same thing for yourself. Lord, give me the wisdom. Give me the strength. Give me the health. Give me the energy. Give me all that I need to do what you want for me in this life. Some of you are still trying to figure out what your calling is. And that's good. That's a good thing. That's not a problem. But way before you figure it out, begin to pray that you would still do it by God's strength and by God's authority and for God's purposes. Lord, give me the wisdom I need to do this, whatever it is. Some of you are single. Start praying for your husband. Start praying for your wife that God's going to bring along. Pray for them now or you might be sorry. If you're a young girl looking for a husband, be praying, Lord, save him. Grab his heart. Turn it toward you. Let him be yours. If you're praying for a wife, same idea. Let her belong to you. Let her have a heart to serve you and to worship you. you're saying, I want to serve in the ministry, then begin to pray, Lord, give me the wisdom. Give me the gifting. Give me the ability. Work in my head, work in my heart, that I might do all of it for you. It's what he's praying for the king, for his son. And of course, that God would destroy his enemies. We go to verse 5. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endures. All that means is they'll fear the Lord. He'll endure forever throughout all generations. They'll fear the king, they'll reverence. Kind of like rain that comes down upon the soil. That's how the righteous grow as well and endure. That's what he says. Verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth. Probably referring to the Euphrates there. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. I believe you're seeing a reference to Jesus Christ as well, even though we're talking about the king. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Once again, even though this is a prayer for the king's son, I think you're seeing prophecy taking place here. At the same time, you're seeing what will happen with Jesus Christ himself. So the king prays. As he serves the Lord, so his righteousness will be recognized by others. And the kingdom will expand. As, by the way, if you'll go back and read, King Solomon's kingdom did expand. Other kings would come from far away bringing gifts to him. Even the queen of Sheba brought gifts to Solomon. Other kings would come from far away. And notice verse 11, which is a messianic prophecy. All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. That's going to take place yet in the future. Right now, a lot of people aren't interested in Jesus Christ. But he will return as King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will be King of kings. All will fall down and worship him. For he shall deliver the needy when he cries. The poor also, this is verse 12, and him that has no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And that's easy to understand. He will deliver the needy. He will not ignore the poor or the needy when they cry for help. He will take pity on the weak. He'll rescue them. Their lives, what that means in verse 14, will be precious to him. He will love these people. Wouldn't you want a king that cared about his people? See, Jesus Christ is king. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He loves you. Jesus Christ loves people. Those people that you're praying for who are not Christians, who don't know the Lord, he loves them. Continue to lift them up to him. He loves them. Verse 15 says, and he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Of course, people respond with gifts. We've seen that. There'll be grain, there'll be fruit in abundance. All nations shall call him blessed. Once again, you see Jesus there. He will be worshipped by all nations. And we're looking forward to that. But we can avoid the rush and worship him now. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only does things that are amazing. Read your Bible. Look at the things that God has done throughout all of history. He created this world. contrary to what's taught in some schools. He created this, the universe. All that is in it, visible and invisible, he created. Look at the wondrous things God has done. And he only does wondrous things. Scientists are still barely figuring out what God has done. And the way that we are, as we read, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I noticed that they're trying to clone these babies. I noticed that again in the news, and they're expecting some cloned babies soon. But all the difficulties and the miscarriages that they're having and the deformities and the strange things that are going on. But they're going to keep going because they think they can do it. And I think, oh my goodness. Notice, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. God is amazing. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And then he says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are finished. No, it didn't mean, all right, I'm old now, I'm tired, that's enough praying. No, he says, I stopped there. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with the glory of God. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, forever and ever. Have you ever given your heart to the Lord? Some of you have given your heart to the Lord and then taken it back because you didn't quite like the things he was allowing, the things he was doing. Some of you have given your heart to the Lord, but not all of it. I'll give it all to you and take care of that dummy, this relationship there, but not this. Don't mess with this. Some of you have given your heart to the Lord, but he's not on the throne in the center. And you can justify and you can explain away, and that's not what it's all about. And that's why you don't have joy. That's why these things are going on. That's why there's no peace. That's why I'm hearing Christians say, it doesn't work. I've tried to be a Christian and it doesn't work. It doesn't. Yeah, it works. It's all God and it's all his word and it's all his will. I think people are trying to do it their way and on their terms. We're going to share communion together. You'll get that tiny little piece of bread and you'll get that cup. Representing Jesus' body broken, his blood shed on the cross for me and for you. It was completely paid for there. I can't just give him my life when I feel like it, when it's convenient, when it seems to be there's no other way. And I'm afraid too many are looking for groups to help them, for some kind of program to help them, instead of pouring their life into the Lord. I think about this older gentleman. He says, don't forsake me when I'm worn out and my hair's gray and I'm old. You've taught me all along. Continue to teach me. Don't pull out. They're going to hand you, as they pass it out, you'll take that bread, take that cup. Just go before the Lord. Get all by yourself. Don't let anything distract you. Or it wasn't even worth it for you. Get before the Lord. Bow before him before you take that bread, before you take that cup, recognizing the body of Jesus Christ and the bloodshed. Go before him and say, Lord, here's my heart. Go through it. Search it. Take out what doesn't belong. Put in what's missing. Take my life. Really take a few moments all by yourself in the privacy of your own heart to listen to the Lord. Let's bow our heads. And when you're ready to take that communion on your own, then you take that.